today. Luke 17, a very familiar scripture, but nevertheless, great. Amen. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. By law, they could only come so close. So they stood afar off. Amen. About 50 foot, seemed like I recall, if that be correct. It's about as close as they could come. And they had to cover their mouth, cry unclean, unclean. Amen. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They're calling from where they stand, through the crowd, past the mob. They're trying to get through. And praise God, they get tuned in on the right frequency. With a milling throng around Jesus, 10 lepers get through. Hallelujah. And he saw them. When he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Didn't waste any time. Boy, I mean, just cut all corners. They taught us in geometry that the definition of a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. Amen. That's a straight line. Hey, Jesus didn't go around the bush, beat around the bush. Hey, he just told them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. That act of obedience, when Jesus told them to go, they went. And as they went, they were cleansed. Obedience brought healing. Hallelujah. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, hallelujah, we prayed for Shirley Harris' smallest boy had chicken pox, and he was getting over them. But he wanted to be prayed for. He wanted to get rid of them chicken pox. And so we prayed for that little guy. And after we got done praying, he stretched out his arms and saw them spots still on his arms and said, I ain't healed! Right there in church. Before everybody said, I ain't healed. Amen. Well, this leper saw that he was healed. Amen. And he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And then he really got with it. How many know what it means to really get with it? Huh? You ever really got with it? I mean, after a while you need to just forsake all protocol and really get with it. Amen. And listen to what it said. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Oh, boy. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? As fast as that happened, Jesus had a good count on it. I mean, he cut through all the red tape and sent them to the priest to be examined by the priest and were cleansed on the road. But he kept in mind there were 10. Amen. 10 of them. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He's already cleansed of his leper, see. But as Brother Don Rich so and others have so ably and anointedly explained, praise God, that to be healed of leprosy is one thing, and to be made whole may be quite a different thing. Because leprosy leaves scars. loss of fingers, ears, nose, members of the body, toes. It eats away until finally the organ is destroyed and it falls off. Amen. And whatever he had lost, he was cleansed. But when he came back and gave him thanks, he was made whole. That means he got something back that he had lost. He was not just healed, but he got his ear back, or his nose back, or his eyeball back, or his fingers back. Praise God. He said, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Praise God. The power of thanksgiving. Marcia Smith wrote me, 94 was the date of this writing. "Thanksgiving is for memories, to look back on the year, in humbleness and thankfulness for blessings we hold dear, for health and food and happiness, for joys that come our way, for friends who add a luster to that, to the toil of every day, for freedoms of America that guard our right to be an individual with a choice in this democracy, for churches and for homes and schools to guide the steps of youth, for those who dedicate their lives to aid the search for truth. For all these precious gifts the year has brought our way, we fold our hands in heartfelt prayer on this Thanksgiving Day." Praise God. The psalmist said in the 107th Psalm 4 times, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works and His goodness toward the children of men." Praise God. New York Times, this week, it had an editorial. It said, "Going to church promotes health." And how that in North Carolina, I'm pretty sure it was North Carolina, how that they made a test, a study of all the people that went to church and found out that people that went to church were more healthy than folks that didn't go to church. That's this week in New York Times. Have we thanked the Lord for the benefits of going to church? Praise God. Raise your hands and thank Him. That it's better tonight because you're in the house of God. It's better tonight because you're in church. Hey, hallelujah! I could have been dead. You could have been dead. But because of prayer and the church, praise God. One time in this 107th Psalm, he said he sent his word and healed them. Amen. Have you thanked him for his word lately? And what a healing influence the word is in your life. Sister Harwell had lost her husband. Amen. It was Brother Harwell that stood up and announced the fellowship meeting down at Allentown, the first one they ever had. I was at Buster Wilson's fellowship meeting about 1954, I'll say. 53 maybe. Yeah, 53. Fall of 53. Amen. And Brother Harold Carter took me down there. And they had a great three-day fellowship meeting. And they announced that they were having one in Allentown, the first one, that very next spring, which would have been, if I'm not mistaken, 1 year maybe off. It would have been the spring of 1954. They announced it. Brother Harwell, he was one of the a main man in the church and a preacher's friend and pretty well to do. And he said, "And one day we'll have seafood." Well, that's the way it started down at Allentown. Amen. For years, the Harwells were always there. And then one day, Brother Harwell died. Oh, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1970, 71, 72, somewhere along there. It could have been a little later. It might have been 73 or 4. Amen. I was at Richlands preaching part of the camp meeting. Amen. And God was moving in a mighty way in the old tabernacle. The power of God was being manifest. And Sister Harwell was there, grief-stricken, broken-hearted. Different diseases had eaten away at her health and well-being. Amen. And from one thing after another, and now she was very sick. I got up that night, and before I started preaching, I said, the power of the Word of God has been so great. I'm surprised that someone hasn't stood up in this congregation already. The Word of God has gone forth so powerfully and said, I'm healed by the Word of God, because there's healing in the Word of God. That night, that camp meeting, Sister Harwell came up and was prayed for, and God gloriously healed her. Hallelujah. Amen. And the very next spring, I flew down to Allentown from Kansas City. I was at Kansas City at that time. And amen. Flew down to Mobile to the three-day fellowship meeting and got there late. They picked me up at the airport, and I walked in the meeting, and I just walked down the aisle and at random sat down in the service. And someone tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked back, and it was Sister Harwell. And she said, I'm still healed. Praise God. Healed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible said He sent His Word and healed them. I want to tell you tonight, you cannot have heard all the preaching that you have heard and not be better. You may be ever so sick tonight, but had it not been for the Word of God, you could have been dead. You're better because He sent His Word and healed us. Raise your hands and praise Him for His Word. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works unto the children of men. Praise God. Hallelujah. That 107th Psalm is power-packed. It's one of my favorite. Amen. He said, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. And the soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful work unto the children of men. Hallelujah. How many has the Lord ever brought to your desired haven? He brought you home again. Raise your hands and praise Him. Home again. Amen. Mark was telling about that storm in his life. How that at times that he almost gave it up. He almost threw in the towel. Amen. But then, hallelujah, he came back to the church. And God calmed the storm in his life and in his family. And he's back home in the house of God, praising God for this church. Because you were there. It was there. The desired haven. Amen. Have you anchored your soul in the haven of rest? To sail the wild seas no more? Hallelujah. We ought to praise him that he brought us here. Can you say amen? That we found a home in the Lord, a resting place in the presence of God. Praise God. David reached a height of inspiration one time and spoke of the altars of God. He said, even the sparrow, he said, hath found a resting place in thine altars, O Lord. Praise God. And David pictured himself like that sparrow, finding a place to rest in the altar of God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Aren't you glad for the altar? The altar has healing power in it. The altar has saving power in it. Amen. Even the New Testament says we have an altar. I like the altar, don't you? What a hiding place it is. What a place of refuge it is. Like a sparrow tired from long flight. Amen. Can land in God's altar. Many a time I've found refuge in the house of God. Amen. Oh, a preacher one time told me when he spoke about loving people as their own selves and loving your enemies. And amen. He was a bitter old preacher. And he said in Sunday school class, you believe anybody does that? Oh, I said, yes, I do. He said, well, he said, you just never have been through any hard knocks. Hey, I was born in them. Amen. I was born in them. But you know what? I found a refuge. I found a refuge in the altar of God. Amen. I learned to play the guitar, praise God. And after a while, I began to sing gospel songs. And I found a refuge, an escape. Just like David of old, praise God, saying to the top of my voice, hallelujah. Amen. I'd get in a house working, doing drywall work for Charles Mayberry Jr. down in southern Illinois and over in the edge of Missouri. Amen. And a lot of times they'd leave the whole house with me to do all the drywall, all the trim, and all the finish. Amen. At the end of the job, and they'd go on to start another job and leave it all with me and in that house by myself. Amen. Boy, you get in an empty room with nothing but drywall and start singing. Hallelujah. Man, it really rings. Hey, amen. I know why guys sing in the bathroom sometimes, because they get a ring in there that they don't get anywhere else. Amen. Yeah, and I'd get in that house and I'd sing, and you know what? The neighbors started talking about that singing preacher out there working. Praise God. Whoo, hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Did you enjoy the good singing tonight? Amen. Isn't there a refuge in the songs of Zion? An escape. Oh, yes, an enlargement of faith. Praise God. That's why we have the largest book in the Bible. Amen. Almost 150 of them, praise God, is a song book. If you please, right in the middle of the Word of God, we got a song book. A little old guy playing a harp and singing. Amen. And in his middle age, he's still playing a harp and singing. When he backslides, he's still playing a harp and singing his way back to Calvary in the 51st Psalm. Why? He's got almost 100 more songs to write and to sing, praise God. Amen. And he sings this 107th one. Amen. Because he wrote that 51st Psalm. Amen. We have this 107th Psalm. Hallelujah. David couldn't quit at 50. He couldn't throw in the towel at 50. He wrote the 51st that said, restore unto me the joy of salvation, and I'll teach sinners thy ways, and they'll be converted unto thee. Amen. He had the 107th to write that said, oh, that men would praise God for his wonderful work unto the children of men. Woo! Healed by a soul. Is a healed by a song? Even King Saul in his backslidden condition, when demons tormented him, they said, what we need is someone that can play skillfully upon the harp and sing. Hallelujah. They said, we know just the guy. Amen. And so they went and got little David. And David came. And when Saul was mad, when he was tormented, when his depressions were at the suicidal point, David came and he began to play and he began to sing. And the demons had to leave. And Saul, praise God, was wow for a while. Because David sung, hey, there's power in the songs of Zion. Don't you doubt it. Amen. Three kings had encompassed the enemy, the city of Moab. Amen. The king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom had all got together with Jehoshaphat. Amen. And they took a 7-day journey. And I want to tell you what, a 70-day journey in that wilderness, you'll drink up a lot of water. And when they got to where they were supposed to be fighting and winning, they was out of water. And Moab was shut up. Amen. And here they are, 7 days journey in the wilderness, out of water. And they say, send and get Elisha. Praise God. Well, I don't know how he come to be so handy. But boy, these three kings got to him. Amen. And Elisha was so mad, he said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat standing here in front of me, I wouldn't even look at you. I'd like to starve to death in the wilderness. And he was so angry. Preacher, get angry. Prophet, get mad? Yes. Amen. Anger is sometimes a good thing. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. The only problem was he was so mad, so angry, and he couldn't hear from God. Amen. He said, send me a minstrel. A minstrel was somebody that could play like David on the harp and sing victory in Jesus. Power in the blood. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Amen. Here, they're starving to death for water, and Elisha is calling for a minstrel. What in the world is he doing? Don't he know in what a bad shape we're in? Amen. What in the world is he doing? Why ain't he playing and getting us some water? Amen. Hey, there's some things that come first. We need to get back in tune with God. We get in trouble, we want God to come running, just like that. And we don't want to praise Him. We don't want to worship Him. We don't do none of the preliminaries. Huh? Amen. No, don't ask me to do anything. They want somebody else to do all the fasting, all the praying, and then if they don't pray through for them right then, just like that, say, well, church ain't got no power anymore. Where's your power? Amen. You think you don't have any responsibility in this enlightened time to get a hold of God? Amen. Where's your prayer? Praise God. Well, Elisha calls a minstrel. That's somebody, praise God, that can play skillfully on a steel guitar. Where's it? Amen. Yeah, it's somebody who can play skillfully on the piano. You know what a piano is? It's just a harp laying down with some felt hammers to hit the string. That's all it is. It's just a harp laying down. Amen. Need somebody to play skillfully on the guitar. I was thrilled when I read one commentary about the book of Revelation in the pulpit commentary where it said they were playing on their harps. It said the harp was a portable instrument like a guitar. I thought, hallelujah, I'm going to trade mine in one of these days for a golden guitar. Amen. Hey, harping with their harps. How about that? Amen. There's been music all the way down through the Bible, and there's music in heaven. And I don't believe it's sacrilegious that we have music in the church. Can you say amen? I think it's a blessing, don't you? There's a lot of people that would have the donut over here and the donut over there and leave us with a hole in the donut. Amen. Hey, there's something came out of that hole in the donut. And that was another big round ball of dough. Amen. And did you know that there's donut shops where you can buy the holes? Amen. That's the middle that came out of the donut. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey! Amen. Let's fill up the holes. They say there's miracles back yonder, and there'll be miracles over yonder. We don't have any miracles now. Say we don't need them now. Glory, I needed a miracle Friday night. She's here testifying to it. You may need a miracle tomorrow. God's still in business. Let's raise our hands and praise Him for the miracle. Praise God. Woo, glory. Yeah, glory to God. Finally, after a little while, that minstrel playing Elisha got a hold of God. And a spirit of prophecy came on him. And he looked over all the faults of the three kings that stood before him. And he said, make this valley full of ditches. He said, you'll neither see wind nor rain, but this valley shall be filled with water. All you got to do is dig a place for it. And can you imagine the faith it took to dig ditches in that dry valley? A bunch of unbelievers, a bunch of heathen, a bunch of rebels. Hey, the orders went down the line. Amen. All the soldiers, hey, stash your swords. Stash your bows. Stash your spears. The orders have come down the line. We've got to dig this valley full of ditches. And here's the Moabites looking out. What are they doing now? They get their spyglass out. They're digging. Digging. What in the world are they digging? I don't know. They're just digging. Amen. Look out again. Get their spy guys. What are they doing over there? They're digging. Digging over there too. I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to dig a trench around this city. And they're going to besiege us for a long time. We're in for it. Amen. No, that wasn't what it was. Praise God. They're digging ditches. Ditches to catch water in. It took some faith that day to dig those ditches, to obey the word of the Lord. Somebody had to believe God. Somebody had to go into action. Praise God. We'd like to have water, but don't want to dig. We'd like to have water, but let somebody else dig. We'd like to have water, amen, but let grandma do the digging. Hey, we'd like to have water, but let grandpa do the digging. Hey, we'd like to have a drink of water. We're starving to death, but let Jim Lawson do the digging. Amen. Hey, we'd like to have water. We're starving to death, but let Jim Collins do the digging. Amen. I've got an uncle by the name of Jim Collins. And in fact, he was my grandpa's brother. And he married my mother's sister younger than her. Amen. So Jim and Hazel had a whole house full of kids, and they were all my double cousins. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. It was Jim Collins' house they all went to have the dance most of the time. They'd take all the furniture out of the biggest room in the house, the living room. And Aunt Tracy and Cousin Jody, they married eventually. Jody Pendarvis. Amen. His mother was my grandpa's sister. Aunt Gladys. She married Jinx. Amen. And so Jody married my mother, one of my mother's younger sisters, Tracy. She was the ones at our house when the house burned. And she said, oh, Tracy, it's gone. Their kids are all our double cousins, too. Amen. So I'm double kin to about everybody in that whole country. Amen. All married in together. Amen. and oh yeah, they'd have a dance at Cousin Jody and Uncle Bartis, that was my mom's brother, he played the fiddle. Teresa played the guitar. Amen. And they fiddled and they danced and square danced, do-si-do and do-si-eight and circle four and circle eight. And us kids played in the background and outside and out in the yard. That's the way I grew up. Amen. We're a bunch of heathen. We didn't care about God. We didn't think about the Lord. Amen. But one day revival came to the country. It had come before, but it was before my time. It came and went. And most of the folks had moved on to better places and better things and left us in our darkness. But then revival came again. Praise God. You know why? Somebody dug a ditch. Somebody made a place. Somebody pitched a tent. Somebody had a brush arbor. Praise God. Hey, somebody stretched the golden ladder into the stars. Hallelujah. And we climbed that golden ladder into the grace of God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the amazing grace of God? Amen. That night, God sent a rain in the mountains of Judea. Amen. And the water run down through the valley of Moab. Praise God. And would have run right on through, but they had dug a bunch of ditches and caught that water. They didn't see wind. They didn't see rain. And Moab didn't even know what had happened. Next morning they woke up and as the sun topped the horizon, they got out their spyglass and said, what are they doing now? See, as the sun, the reddening skies in the east reflected on all that water, it looked red like blood. And they said, why? They've had war among themselves. And they've killed each other. And the whole valley is full of blood. Let's go out and take the spoils. And they opened the gates of Moab and ran out with their sacks instead of their swords. Amen. And they defeated Moab with great victory because God had set a minstrel by to sing for the prophet till he got a hold of God. Amen. Somebody said, well, same old thing down the highway, hold just come a few times. You'll find out different. Amen. Ain't no two services the same. Praise God. No two the same. Hey, you'll sing three songs and have prayer requests and then have the choir sing that preacher. What's wrong with that? Amen. The Spirit of God's in it. We don't always do it that way. Sometimes we don't get to preach. A lot of times on Sunday night, we don't get to preach. But oh, the power of thanksgiving. How did we come about a Pentecost in the first place? Amen. The Bible said in Luke chapter 24, he said they were continually in the temple praising and magnifying God. Pentecost is one of the products of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. They did what Jesus told them to do. They went to church. Well, 120 of them did. It was kind of like it was the Highway of Holiness. Kind of like it is in Hamilton. He was a scene of 500. 500 witnesses to his resurrection. But only 120 made it to the upper room. Amen. Hey. Are you going to be there when it happens? Are you going to be there when it all starts taking place? Ooh, when the breaking move of God breaks over the souls of men. Lives are changed. Lost husbands brought in. Children saved. And suddenly it happens. Praise God. Amen. And God reverses the trend. The devil's defeated. And he restores the cankered year. Hallelujah. Are you going to be there? I'll tell you how to be sure to be there. Don't miss a prayer meeting. You know the reason doubting Thomas couldn't get in on a lot of things that others could? He forever lost an opportunity. He missed the gathering or two of the disciples. Amen. And all he could get was a report. We've seen him. We know he's alive. Thomas, we saw it. I don't believe it. I won't believe it, he said, except I put my hand in his side and feel a nail prints in his hand. I'll not believe it. And about the time he's protesting the biggest, he just happened to be at church. And Jesus appeared in the midst of Thomas. What? Me? Yes. Thomas, come hither and thrust your hand in my side. Feel the nail prints in my hand. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. When Jesus rose again, he had flesh and bones. Instead of flesh and bones and blood, he had flesh and bones and spirit. That's the way we're going to be in the resurrection. We're going to have flesh and bones and spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And Thomas believed. He said, my Lord and my God. And Thomas was on hand the rest of the time. He didn't miss his Pentecost. He was there praising and magnifying God and waiting on the Lord. You see, you don't seek God on your own time and terms. You seek God in obedience to God and wait on Him. They waited the whole 10 days till the day of Pentecost was fully come. Hey, because of Thanksgiving, folks, we have Pentecost. Raise your hands and praise God for Pentecost. For Pentecost. A church by the name of the Pentecostal Highway of Holiness Church. The day has come many times over for many of us. And there are many more blessings to come. Did you know in the 4th chapter of Acts, they were all gathered together and praying and seeking God, and God shook the place again, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Already been filled, Acts 2:4, and they got refilled in Acts chapter 4. Amen. There's one filling, C.L. O'Bannon said, but many refillings. Glory to God. We need a refilling once in a while. It comes the same way. We just get together, pay the price, seek God, and determine to live for God and praise Him anyhow. Stand with me and let's pray, Father. Power of praise. Power of thanksgiving. On our knees. Hallelujah. Help us to do like that leper that was cleansed. Help us to really get with it. Amen. When he really got with it, he got down on his face at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. Huh? Amen. That is getting with it. Praise God. As they sang, we invite you to an altar prayer. Father, bless these challenging remarks. And thank you, Lord, for all these blessings that have come our way because of all these things directly. Thank you, Lord, that there are many, many more blessings that shall come because we set our mind and heart to be faithful and obedient to God. Made whole over and over again. And saw it repeated in our children and our grandchildren. We stand in the midst of two generations. Lay our hands on two generations and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Praise God. Amen. Make your way to God's altar tonight in Jesus' name.